Hashem, zachinu to have with us an Adam Gadol. You know, when you're walking past the river and you take in your hand a stone and you throw it into the river, the stone hits on the impact, there's a big splash, and then there's a little ripple effect. And you see the ripples going slowly, slowly, and after a few seconds there are no more ripples. What has happened to those ripples? You know, the river is one gush, it's one entity. When a stone hits the river, so there's an impact, there's an initial impact, but then there's an effect on all the other parts of the river. And if you follow it back to the riverbed, if it's strong enough, it will actually have that effect. Torah is compared to mayim, to water. It comes from very, very high up, the highest heavens, and it can affect the deepest, the lowest souls. Even in this week's parsha, we read, Bo el Paro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, come to Pharaoh and not go to Pharaoh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even found, even in the midst of Pharaoh, even in the midst of Egypt, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found. A person we have been zocheh to have with us, a Rabbi Zachariah Wallerstein, who is having this ripple effect throughout the globe, can give a shiur in America and we can be hearing it in London and across the world. And Baruch Hashem, today with us we have a lot of people that actually listen to your shiurim. My wife, there's quite a few Talmidim of yours without you even noticing. Such is the effect and the power nowadays of Torah. So Baruch Hashem, not only we don't have to look at him and listen to him via media, we can experience Baruch Hashem, panim el panim, chavod Rav Zecharia.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. It's an honor. Just got off a plane not that long ago from the United States. It's an honor to come and to speak. The rabbi gave me the subject to speak about his life. Is it a game? Is it not a game? Is it a competition? So I've been traveling through the world for the last 6 months. I was actually in Manchester a few months ago. I've been in Eretz Yisrael, in Toronto, Montreal, all over the United States. And really the subject that the rabbi picked was Siyata D'Shmaya, because it's really the subject that I have been speaking about a lot. So the question is like this. The question is, I've been going around, I've been asking married people, older people, children in 8th grade, I guess that's 13, 14 year olds, children in 12th grade, 18, 19 year olds, I've been asking them a question. Actually, three questions. And the question is like this. If you went into a store here in London, and there was a person behind the counter, I don't know the names of your stores, but a pharmacy, a non-Jewish store, and you were buying something, and the person behind the counter sees you wearing a kippah, or he sees a woman, she's wearing a Magen David, and the person says, I see that you're Jewish. What does that mean? What does that mean to be Jewish? I don't know anything about your religion. I'm looking for a religion. I'm looking to understand religion. What does it mean, Judaism? What does it mean to be a Jew? What do you have as a Jew different than everybody else? I've been asking this question to people who are 70 years old. People who are 15, people who are 18, who've been going to shul, keeping Shabbos, wearing tzitzit, getting dressed in tzniut, lighting candles, eating kosher. What is Judaism? Manishtana. What do we have that they don't have? So, a lot of people say, Judaism, Yiddishkeit, is a religion. Okay, if it's a religion, Manishtana. Christianity is also a religion, Islam is also a religion, Buddhism also a religion. So we have a religion, they have a religion, Manishtana. What do we have? What do they have? So some people answered, we have laws, 613 laws, 613 rules. I don't like rules. Most people don't like rules. Most people don't like laws. Sounds very hard. 613 rules? What's wrong with 7 rules? The non-Jewish people have 7 rules. Why do you need 613 rules? Okay. Some people answer. It's a connection to God. We connect to God. How? We pray. The Muslims pray 5 times a day. The Jews only pray 3 times a day. It would be tough 5 times a day with all the minyanim, especially in the minyanim factory. Imagine you have to figure out how to do all 5 of them at one time. It would be very hard. So they pray 5 times a day. They pray more than we do. So what do we have? What do we have that nobody has? Connected to God. They're also connected to God. They also created the Tzelem Elohim, the non-Jews. So I hate to say this, but it's already many months, probably 2,000 people that I've interviewed, and only 2 of them got the right answer. Imagine being a Jew for 50, 60 years, or being a 12th grader going through 14 years of Jewish school and not knowing the answer to this question. What did you have? Nobody else has. The Torah! We have the Torah. What is the Torah? So it's a book of what? Rules. So it's not a book of rules. They have their books, the Quran, the New Testament. Everybody's got their book. Buddhism even has a little fat guy that sits on a table. I don't know how you can believe the guy didn't lose weight for 2,500 years. I don't know how you can think he's God, but whatever. Everybody has their book. What do we have? So, some people say, listen, we know the Torah is true because it says in the Torah that there's no animal besides the pig that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud. And the only one that could know that there's no such other animal in the world is the one who created the world. So we know that the Torah is 100% true. Okay? We know the Torah is 100% true. There are many proofs. Eish HaTorah goes around the world and makes many proofs that the Torah is MS. But it still doesn't tell us what is Judaism. Question number 1. Question number 2. We talk about the neshama. Person has a neshama. Person has a soul. Right? After this world, the soul goes to the good place, only to the good place. I'm going to talk about the other place. Right? Everybody has a soul. There's some people that think when you get married, a soulmate, it's a very American, Western civilization. People telling you, shit up, they're looking for their soulmate. When you find out what your soul is, I'm like, then you look for the other half of it. First, you got to figure out what your half is. You find out the other half. What's the soul? So I go out, come with the soul. Anybody ever see a soul? Nobody ever saw a soul. You can't see a soul. You take an MRI, sonogram, x-ray. You're going to see a person has a soul, a person doesn't have a soul. You take a Jew, you take a non-Jew, you put them and give them an x-ray, it looks any different. You give an MRI, it looks any different. You give a sonogram, it looks any different. How do you know you have a soul? How does the person know they have a soul? You do an Aveira, affects your soul. You do a Mitzvah, affects your soul. Neshama, Neshama, Neshama. Show me a Neshama. I want to see a Neshama. What is a Neshama? What is it? I'm asking people who are their whole lives religious Jews, Mazin Neshama. What is a Neshama? Did you ever see one? No. Do you know what it is? You know how it works? Not really. Question number three. Olam Haba. Interesting. I came from a school in California. I asked both the girls, if Hashem said today that Gan Eden is full, there's no more room, closed. So, but I want you to keep the Torah, no reward. No reward, closed, no room, no more seats. Right? Would you still keep the Torah? If you knew, there's no reward, zero, for Shabbos, Tefillin, Tznius, Kosher, everything. No reward. Gan Eden, it's full, sorry. There's no more room. Would you keep the Torah? And 80% of the class said no. What for? No reward, what for? But it says in the Mishnah, Shalom Manas the Kabbalah, that you're not supposed to do a mitzvah to get a reward. So who cares if there's Gan Eden or not? Should it make a difference? How do we know there's a Gan Eden? How do we know there's another world? Did anyone ever come back from the other world? So I'm asking questions nobody asks, because we all have Emunah. But this person that we're talking to doesn't have Emunah. She wants to understand what our religion is all about. So our religion talks about Neshama, Olam Haba, Gan Eden. What's a Neshama? How do you know there's a Gan Eden? How do you know there's another world? So I'm going to answer all three questions today. And that's what I've been doing for the last 9 months, 6 months, about 9 months. In schools everywhere. So the answer is like this. Yiddish guy, Judaism, is not a religion. And it's not a bunch of rules. And it's even more than a connection to Hashem. Yiddishkeit, Judaism, is life. What do I mean? For instance, right now I'm standing in front of you. I'm wearing a suit. My suit was checked for shotness. That it shouldn't have linen and wool together. Which means that right now, I'm connected to Hashem through my suit. This morning when I woke up, I put my right hand in my shirt first, because that's the halakha. I put my right shoe on first, I tied my left shoe first. Hashem, you care to put my right shoe on first, or my left shoe on first, my right hand. Hashem, you care if I have linen and wool? Who does that bother, linen and wool in my suit? Why would Hashem give us a law and a rule which shoe to put on first? When you go to sleep, you're supposed to go to sleep on your right side. Hashem, you care which side of the bed I sleep on? I mean, come on. Dear God, you care which side of the bed I sleep on? When I cut my nails, halakhically, I'm supposed to burn those nails, or at least bury those nails. Hashem, you care what I do with my nails? When I take a haircut, I have to wash on it till I sit down. When I shave, I'm not on a cut above this bone. So when I shave, I'm connected to Hashem. When I cut my nails, I'm connected to Hashem. When I wake up in the morning, I say Moda'ani, I'm connected to Hashem. When I see lightning, I make a bracha, I'm connected to Hashem. When I see thunder, when I hear thunder, when I come out of the bathroom, I'm connected to Hashem. When I eat an apple, I'm connected to Hashem. When a woman walks in the street, and she's dressed tzniyas, she drinks it. When we eat some oyster uzacharten, she remembers, I'm different. I'm connected to Hashem. I have strings! Strings! Hashem needs me to wear strings. The Jew with strings attached. Strings! I'm connected to Hashem. What I look at, and what I'm not allowed to look at, I'm connected to Hashem. What comes out of my mouth, Lashon Hara, Rechilos, I'm connected to Hashem.
what I listen to,
I'm connected to Hashem.
So it's not rules, and it's not laws. It's 613 ways to be connected to God.
And that is something that shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. In a marriage between a husband and wife, the more they want to be connected in everything that they do, the more they care about each other. I talk a lot on Shalom Bias, and there was a rabbi in New York named Rabbi Lamb. The speaker, he talks, he speaks, gives shiurim. And he was on his way to give a shiur with one of the Rosh Hashivas together. The Rosh Hashiva said to him, Rabbi Lamb, did you get the bracha from your wife? He said, oh yeah, I get plenty of brachas from my wife. He said, no, did you get the bracha from your wife? So what are you talking about? You're going to give a shiur without getting a bracha from your wife? There's no way the shiur could be good. So what are you talking about? Turn the car around. We're going back home. Get a bracha from your wife. Rosh Hashiva says, get a bracha from your wife. You go get a bracha from your wife. Turn the car around. Goes home. Knocks on the door. His wife's like, why are you back? He says, I need a bracha from you. She looks at him. What? You need a bench? He says, no. I need you to give me a bracha. You need me to give you a bracha? What do I have to do with your shiur? You prepared your shiur. You learned. What do I have to do with your shiur? The rabbi said, if I don't have a bracha, the shiur won't be good. She said, okay. I give a bracha that everyone who comes to your shiur shouldn't fall asleep. They should listen. By the way, I got that bracha before this shiur, so you better not fall asleep. They should listen. It should go from your heart into their heart. She gave this long bracha like a rebbe. So he gets back into the car, and the Rosh Hashiva says, you got the bracha? I got the bracha. He said he never gave a shiur like that. He asked the Rosh Hashiva, why do I need a bracha for my wife? The Rosh Hashiva said, unbelievable. He says, when you go to give a shiur, your wife alone, it's very nice, you're doing a big mitzvah, giving a shiur, but she's alone. She's in her room alone. So she's disconnected from what you're doing. But if she gives you a bracha, then the whole time she's thinking, I hope my bracha works. So she's connected to your shiur through her bracha. And of course, if you come home and you say, wow, I finished my shiur and everybody was clapping, she's going to say, I gave you a bracha. Of course. And if you're going to come home and say, oy vey, the whole place is sleeping, she's going to say, look how bad you are. Even with my bracha, they went to sleep. So you're not going to win. So Rabbi Lamb said that he started to do this with everybody in the family. So when his little kids went to school the next day, he gave them a bracha. Listen, when you go to school, you should learn good. If you have a test and it's multiple choice and you have to guess, Hashem should put the right thoughts in your head. And if you're going to play basketball, you should play well, and you shouldn't get into any fights. And the kid turns around to his father and says, and you're going to work today, you should have a bracha that your meeting should go good, and you shouldn't get any parking tickets, Tati, because you always get parking tickets. Right? And all of a sudden, he said, his whole family changed. Everybody's giving each other brachas. So even though, in the morning, you have kids in school, you have a wife at home or a wife working and a husband working, and everybody's spread all over the place. And they're disconnected. No, they're connected. Because the kid's going to say to the father, so how'd the meeting go? And the father's going to say to the son, so how'd it go in school today? And everyone's connected because everyone gave each other a bracha, and it's mamish, a total game changer in Shalom Bayis. You should know that. I do not give a shiur without calling my wife. And many times, like before I came to England, because I didn't know if my sense of humor was going to work here, I called my mother for a bracha too. Yeah, a bracha for my mother and my wife. So when I called my mother today to say goodnight, she's going to ask me, so, how is my bracha going to work? So I'm connected to my mother. She's in New York, right? She lives by herself.
And she like, but how did the Chaya do? How did my son do in England? I gave him a bracha. That's what God, that means you love each other. That means you care about each other. That means you're in each other's life. You're in each other's life. That when a man goes to work, his wife is there with him because she gave him the bracha. And he gave his wife a bracha. When the kids come home today, they should be half normal. They shouldn't make you crazy. And that your PTA group should go good, or that your job should go good. And everyone's connected. That means that this family, they all care about each other. So because Baruch Hu tells us that I love you so much, when you put your shoe on, I want to be there. When you cut your nails, I want to be there. When you come out of the bathroom, I want to be there. When you wake up, I want to be there. When you go to sleep, I want to be there. How you sleep, I want to be there. When you talk, when you hear, when you see, I want to be there. I want to be there all the time. That is something we have. Nobody in this world has it. Just us. Goyim don't have shatness, or what shoe to put on first, or lamatess malachis on Shabbos. They don't have any of that. Why? Because Chiba Yisera, says the Mishnah, because there's a special love that Hashem has for us. And the problem with Judaism today is that we don't realize that. And that's like another halacha, another law. Oh no, it's Rosh Chodesh. We have to say hello. We're hoping that every day a guy walks in with a new palace. Chatan, no tachanun. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. The Chatan, to the bris. How happy we are. We say 4 minutes of tefillah. Baruch Hashem. Why? Because it's rules, and it's laws, and it's competition, and it's a subject. Torah is a subject. Chumash is a subject. Gemara is a subject. We became Greeks. We became Yevanim. We followed the whole rest of the world. So we teach our children, you go to school, you get a mark on Gemara. How do you get a mark on Gemara? How do you get a mark on Chumash? How do you get a mark on Yahadus? Where does it say in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was a 90 student? It says that he had a disability, that he couldn't even talk. Where does it say anywhere in the Torah that somebody got mark or test or competition? One time the Gemara says, two Kahanim raced up the ramp on the Mizbeach, and what happened? One pushed the other one off and broke his leg. They said, Jews are not competitive, no competition. Life is not, a Jewish life is not a game. Because a game is about winning and losing. And Yiddishkeit, Judaism, is not about winning and losing. It's about trying. That's all. That's it. Amelus Patora. Doesn't matter how much you know. It's about trying. And you know what? We have taught our children that trying means nothing. It's about what you get when you test. It's about when you grow up, how much money you have in your account. It doesn't matter how hard you work. It matters how much money you have. That is Japan. That is the Olympics. That is the Greeks. They created Olympics where there's one winner and the rest are losers. Many, many years ago, there was a girl, I forgot her name, very famous gymnast in the Olympics. And they had a whole documentary on her. She was from Romania, and her coach was from Romania, and from when she was 3 years old, they would train her in a cold, freezing barn. And she didn't play with any of her friends. And when it came to the Olympics, on the cross beam, on the horse, she jumped off, and she took a step back, and you have to land flat. And she lost 8/10 of a point, and she lost the medal. And they show a picture of her running into this Romanian coach's arms, and both of them are like, he's crying and she's crying. Loser!
But when you were 3 years old, your whole life, you worked and you worked and you worked and you worked and you worked. You stepped back to riches. Nothing. You're worthless. There's going to be no pictures of you on advertisements for Revlon or in Cheerio boxes or anywhere. Zero. You either get the gold or you get nothing. That's what we've been taught. And that's what our children have been taught. And that's why Yiddishkeit, Judaism, doesn't have what it used to have. It's no longer life. Let's get it done. In America, for Pesach, I don't know about here, for Pesach, so everything is pre-made. You can buy maror, it's already ground. You can buy charoset, it's already made, right? Matzah, of course, is already made. But there is a store in Borough Park that sells in a jar. I'm a witness because I bought it because I had to show it to my class because nobody would have believed it. In a jar for 99 cents, salt water. Chas v'shalom, you should go home and mix the water just to make it for you already. Why? Because Pesach is not something to be excited about like the old days. Pesach is a job. Rabbi Eli Mansour, I don't know if he ever comes to London to speak. He's the rabbi of the Syrian community. So he got up once and said, what's the difference between Ashkenazic ladies and Syrian ladies when it comes to Passover? He said, they both vacuum clean. The Ashkenazic lady, she vacuum cleans the house. This is not an England joke. This is an American joke. The Ashkenaz lady, she vacuum cleans the house. The Syrian lady, she also vacuum cleans the two suitcases. Okay, I guess you have to be there. Because everybody in America, they all go to hotels. We all go to hotels. So that's Pesach. Goodbye. Right? Shavuos? Shavuos? What's Shavuos? Some cheesecake. What's Shavuos? Some guys stay up late all night. Some people don't stay up all night. Sukkot. I remember growing up, Sukkot. Ooh, we built a sukkah. And we had to carry bamboo, and they used to get stuck in my fingers, splinters. And then we used to hang up these things that we made, crepe paper, and then it would rain, and all that stuff would drip on my mother's white tablecloth, and there were pine needles in the sukkah. It took us like 3 days just to get the sukkah put together. Today, you may not have it here, but in America, lighter sukkah, they're called pop-up sukkahs. You push a button, boom, 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 boom. You have a little mat. 30 seconds, sukkah's made. Done. Have a nice day. Sukkah's up. That's it. Then you buy, made in China, some Christmas ornaments that you hang up in your sukkah. Because they're all made in China, right? For Christmas. We hang it up, you know. Beautiful. I always find it funny in Eretz Yisrael when I go, I'm in Eretz Yisrael at Yom Kippur, I buy made in China Christmas stuff to put on my sukkah. Beautiful. They come up with something new. Baruch Hashem, we don't hang up. Yeah, with the white beard, but otherwise, you know, everything else. So that took us. So what do we have anymore? What do we have? Purim? Purim? My mother said Purim, in Europe, they used to bake, and bake, and bake, and bake for Purim, cakes, little cakes to give to everybody. Mamash, 2 weeks before Purim, they were baking in everybody's house, they were working and they were baking, it was amazing. Today, Purim, I get cards. Hi. I donated money to this organization. This is your shlachmas. They don't even go to the store to buy the stuff for me. They say, cards! Who asked you to donate in my name? I donated my name. Send me up with a piece of cake! With a piece of chocolate in Ireland, something! Donating for me! Boy, a bunch of guys coming to your house, dancing around, throwing up all over the carpet. Beautiful. Beautiful. Hanukkah. I was growing up, we took cotton and we slept it and we dipped it in the oil and it dripped all over the carpet and your hands smelled from olive oil. Today, you go to the store, you break off the glass, it's already pre-made. Now they found out they cut people's hands. So now they made olive oil that's hard like a candle, but once you light it, it melts. And it says on it, dripless, odorless, spotless. Chas v'shalom, you should get a little bit dirty. So it became a subject. Pesach is a subject. A 11:30, we finished the Seder. Unbelievable. Baruch Hashem. All of a sudden, everyone became very massive. Chatzos. Happy Kol Mod. 11:30, we finished. I don't know. Says it not God, then Bnei Brak. They were up all night, so they told them it was Man Kriyat Shema. What happened to that?
Oh, I got my art scroll. I got up. I just read all the English, and we're finished.
Hashem. Come on, come on. Say Yisrael Torah. You all know this one. Right? The kids come home with all their Yisrael Torah, the books, you know? They make all that stuff, they have all their Yisrael Torah, and you're like, oh, no.
I got 7 kids, and they all come back with all these Yisrael Torah.
So we parents, we all do the same thing. Can I say my Yisrael Torah? You say it by the meal. By the meal. You say it by the meal. Everyone, you say it by the meal, of course, they're sleeping. Hashem. You say it tomorrow. What happened?
Baruch Hashem, the men, we have Dafyomi. Right? Dafyomi. Some of you go to Dafyomi, I'm sure.
Ladies, you should come watch a Dafyomi. You have 40 guys sitting there with a Gemara open, half asleep, a coffee on one side, a tea on the other side, their phone, right? And if the guy goes 1 minute more than an hour, they start throwing the Gemara at him. No. If you go more than 45 minutes, by most, right? Now let me tell you ladies something you don't know. All these men that are learning Daf Yomi, when they were in yeshiva, and they were teenagers, and you would walk into the Beis Medrash, the same men, and watch them learn, you know what it would look like? You'd be screaming at each other. Screaming at the chavrusa. What are you talking about? Go to a Beis Medrash. You think you understand Rashi? That's not what Rashi says. What's wrong with you? And they're pulling out one sefer after another. A chase. Another sefer. No, what are you talking about? I'm a racist. God, I'm honest. If you think, you only scream, you think there's a war. What happened to that? What happened to those guys?
Did he finish yet? It's an hour. No.
Nobody learns the Daf Yomi. But that's what they say. Hey, did you do the Daf Yomi today? I did the Daf Yomi. You do a Daf Yomi or you learn a Daf Yomi? Did you do your Chumash homework? Did you learn your Chumash homework? It's just one big subject. Yiddishkeit became one big subject. And you know what people like to do with subjects? They like to get finished. Yiddishkeit is not a subject. Yiddishkeit is life. Shabbos is life. Shabbos is 26-hour date with God. 26 hours you're on a date with the chassan. That's why you have to get dressed nice. That's why you have to buy flowers. That's why you have to set the table nice. That's why you have to make special food. That's why you have to sing Zmiros. Because for 26 hours, you're on a date with Hashem. And he even lets you sleep during the date. So you should be rested. Not 26 hours reading Yated, Mishpacha, Bina, I don't even know what they have here in England, Hamodia, Pal, everybody walks in today. Okay, I'm ready for Shabbos. Got 45 magazines, let's go. Hello. L'chadoidi, Friday night. We used to sing, remember we used to sing L'chadoidi? Now they give out these sheets. Torah sheets, all over the place. All of a sudden everyone became big Talmidei Chachamim by L'chadoidi. But the minute Maariv is over, everyone's gone. Nobody's reading those sheets. Right? So we want to understand why our kids are not excited. Everyone's also learning. Big lambs on him. He's supposed to be singing L'chadoidi. The chassan's coming. That Rizal used to go out in spots. He used to go all the way out with the Akabas. He used to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wrote L'chadoidi. And we're sitting here learning? It's not the time to learn. Come to shul early and learn. Stay after shul and learn. No. In the 18 minutes, I was taking a shower. I can't learn before. And I got to get home because the soup's waiting for me. So we don't sing. We're not excited. I'm talking to myself. Come to shul, nobody here. I'm just talking out loud. You are my therapist. So you get $150. At $150 an hour, if I divide it between all of you, it's only like one shekel. So what is Judaism? Judaism is life. We've lost that edge. And we need to get it back. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to be in everything that we do. He loves us so much that even when you tie your shoe in the morning, He wants to be part of that. He wants to be part of every second of your life. From the second that you're born, there's a bracha. If it's a girl, it's a shachianu. If it's a boy, it's a tevah meitiv. And when a person passes away from this world, there's a bracha. Baruch tayin emes. Doesn't matter. Every second, here, coming in, going out, and during, we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what He wants. And where are we all running? They make a joke. Kaddish, right? If you ever watch a shul, people leave early. So there's a Kaddish Shalem, that means everyone's still in shul. That's after Ashrei Yom Tzion. It's Kaddish Shalem, everyone's there. So then, after Ashrei Yom Tzion, a lot of people leave. Who's left? The rabbis. Kaddish Derabbanan. He says, there's a couple of minutes still left. Even the rabbis leave. Who's left? Kaddish Yassam. Just the orphans are left because they have to say Kaddish. What's the rush? Work is a klala. Work is a curse. God said to Adam, I'm cursing you that you have to go to work. You're running to a curse? You're sitting in shul? You're talking to God. You don't have to wait. It's not like you go to a rabbi. You got to wait. You got to know the gabbai. You got to pay him off a little, you know, to cut the line. Right? You got to have connections. But that's right? To get to the rabbi. Yeah, you got to wait. Because sometimes 2, 3 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. If it ever comes, you got to wait. Sometimes 2 days. You don't got to wait here 1 second. You don't got to know nobody. Just walk in the door. Hashem doesn't make you wait. You don't gotta meet, no, you don't have to know anybody, no protection, you can walk in, you can talk to him, boom, anytime you want. But we're all waiting and running and connections and this and Mekubalim. The biggest Mekubal, it's right here. The one that can really change your life is right here, and you're running out. Hope you don't have to say Tachlin today. Because it became a subject. I gotta get through Shachris. Oh no, it's Monday tomorrow. Another 8 minutes, 12 minutes waning. It should be just the opposite. Oh, tomorrow's Pius HaTorah. Let me say 3 more Bachus. So what are we gonna do about it? So I'm not gonna change the system. I can't change the system. I can't change the school system. But I sure can change the home system. School system's not gonna change. I got up, I said, there's no right to mark. There's two sides of the report card. There's one that has all the marks in Hebrew on the subject, and then there's another side to the report card. That side of the report card should say effort, derech eretz, participation in class. That should stay, and that should be marked, because that's Judaism. And if I put a new one on that side of the page, then maybe things would change. Kibbutz of the aim. Imagine if it got a mark. Kids would start actually honoring their parents. And you know who's going to mark that? The parents. Ooh. But the other side of the report card? Gemara? You're going to mark Gemara? Tell your story. So, I'm ready for 34 years, 8th grade. I teach, most of the time, Eil Matzius. Somebody loses something, has a simon. I got a boy in my class. Brilliant. He was born with 134, 140 IQ. Brilliant. Those all the Gemara Taisus, Rishayim, Machayim, backwards, forward. He is so brilliant, he's going to be a valedictorian. He's the best kid in the class. Aleph, 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 Aleph. He's walking on Avenue J in Brooklyn. He's a big Yankee fan. And he finds a Yankee hat. And he's like, I hope it doesn't have a simon. I hope it doesn't have a simon. Because if it doesn't have a simon, I can keep it. And he looks in the hat. No name. But the side of the hat is cut. Simen, not a simen, I'm keeping it. That's my aleph student. Aleph, 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 aleph. Now, and I got another guy in my class. I don't know, he probably got about an 85 IQ. He can't remember his own name. His mother puts labels of his name on all the pieces of his clothing. His name is written on the bottom of his shoe. In case he forgets, he takes his shoe off and looks at it. Okay, he's not brilliant, but he loves Eli Matias. He loves him, and he's walking down Avenue J, and there's a Yankee hat. And he's like, I hope it has a simon, because if it has a simon, I could do Hashavas Aveda. And he turns over the hat, and there's no name in it. He's like, no. Look at that. The size is cut. That's a simon. Runs to Landau's, that's a minion factory, puts up a big sign, magic marker. Found hat. Not telling you what team it is. If you want the hat on Avenue J, please call me at. Runs to ballpark, because maybe a guy came from ballpark, and he's going to every shul, this little kid, he's 13 years old, he's putting up signs in every shul. And then the Jewish press, which goes all over the world, all the United States, has a lost and found. He calls him up. How much is this lost and found to put an announcement? $50. $50, that's my last penny. I don't care. Put $50. Okay, I'm sending you the $50, put in your lost and found. Now you tell me in this room, who's the Aleph student and who's the Dalet student? The Aleph student in our world today is the kid with the 134-140 IQ. And no matter how special this child is and how much he believes and he wants to do a Shavuot Aveda, he will fail. He will not even graduate. This is what has happened. Torah has become a subject. And then the girls, it's the same thing. They get a test on Lama Tetz Malachas. There are girls, they're brilliant, and they get hundreds, and there are girls that are not so brilliant, and they get 50s. But the girl who got 50s, every Thursday night, the teacher doesn't know, she makes the potato kugel. She robs it with it, and Nebuch, the poor kid, sits there for 40 minutes with the potato kugel on those metal grinds. And then the next day she sets the table for Shabbos. And she helps her mother make the challah. And she's fighting with her older brother that she, a lot of things, mirrors, or it's Kolisha. She loved Shabbos. And she goes to Benos. She loved Shabbos. But on the test, she gets 60s. Failure. The one who's getting 100, she hates Shabbos. She doesn't come down from the table. Only when she has to. She's busy reading biology books for her final because she's an excellent student, and she figured out ahead that biology is creation, Bereshis, Hashem. It's not really English. It's sort of like Torah, you know. She worked it out. So we're not going to change the school, but we need to change ourselves, and we need to change our children. We need to tell our children that the most important part of Yiddishkeit is that you try your hardest and that you do your best. That's what counts. I almost ended up moving to England because I almost got thrown out of Flatbush a few weeks ago. So I buy flowers for Shabbos. Since I'm 16 years old, my mother said if I shop for Shabbos, she'll let me get a license. Deal. So I've been shopping for Shabbos for a very long time. And so I buy the flowers, and I love flowers. We don't have time to get into the whole thing. I love flowers. And every flower that Hashem created, right, he created for us. And the smell, not that they smell much anymore, but they used to smell, but they're beautiful. There's so many different flowers. Well, there's this one flower store in Flatbush that most people buy their flowers. It has hundreds of imported flowers. It has black calla lilies, which is a very unusual flower. It has white calla lilies, it has different colored roses. I'm not going to show off what I know, but I know a lot of flowers. Anyway, I'm always excited. I want to buy. I'm buying flowers for the chassan. Must be the other way around. Right? The chassan buys flowers for the kala. But guess what? Who created those flowers? The chassan. So I'm sort of just giving him back what he gave me. Really. That's the truth. So, I go into the flower store and I'm always very excited to see all the different flowers this man has. I usually get there around 10 o'clock. Three, four weeks ago. I got there at 8 o'clock in the morning. There were three women in the flower store. They look like they just hit a wall. They must have just dropped their kids off at school. They were wearing their snoods. They were in a miserable mood. Miserable. And I'm in there, and they're like giving the guy in the flower store a hard time. Why do roses go up $2? One lady was saying to him. I'm like, so don't buy it. Like, what are you screaming at the Korean for? Like, you know? It's just where it was like miserable mood, these three. I'm like, I'm going to get him out of this mood. I'm Wallstein. You know what? I get away with this stuff. So I'm like, there's only three there. Three of me. I'm like, ladies! It's a big store. It's like this big. Think of this room. I'm like, ladies! Do you know that all the flowers in this store were created just for me? Because if there was one person on the world, it'd still be just as many different flowers. It wouldn't be as many flowers. But Hashem, when He created the world, He created it in 6 days. It's all here. And it was for Adam. And if everyone in the world was destroyed and I was left, Hashem's keeping all the flowers. So what? All these flowers were created for me. So the Korea behind me goes, you buy all my flowers? So he was very excited, but I told him, I said, no, it's a Jewish thing. Don't worry about it. I'm going to buy my regular stuff. I said, ladies, you're buying flowers for Shabbos. You have eyes, Hashem gave you eyes. You can see the colors. You can see everything. This is such a beautiful moment. You can't be in such a mood when you buy flowers for Shabbos. Because guess what? If I wasn't here and the rest of the world wasn't here, all these flowers would be here just for you. And they looked at me like I was totally out of my mind. They all ran out of the store. No, but honestly, they knew where I was, and they said, you know what? They walked, and you're right. You're right. For buying flowers for Shabbos, that's not the mood to buy flowers for Shabbos. Flowers for Shabbos. Food for Shabbos when you're making it. Making food for Shabbos at a chassid. When I buy the fruit for Shabbos, it's also a Korean store. And every piece of fruit that I pick for Shabbos, I say, we're covered Shabbos Kodesh. Just the sugar in Korean tells every Jew in Flatbush that he has the only kosher fruit in Flatbush. And every person tells him the same thing. Sir, all fruits and vegetables are kosher. And he's like, no. There's a rabbi that comes in every Thursday and he talks to all my fruits. That's me. Take your kids shopping for Shabbos. Let your little daughter or son pick out the flowers. Let them pick out the fruit. You want them to be connected to Shabbos, not have to show them texting or doing other things you're not supposed to on Shabbos. Connect them. Teach them that it's life. You know why I'm standing up here today? The reason I'm standing up here today is because as a little boy at 7 years old, my father and mother had me and my brother and my sister. My brother was 2 years older but much smaller than I was. And every Friday night we put on a play. Every Friday night my father worked so hard. He traveled from Sunday. He came home Friday at 1 o'clock. And every Friday night he sat after the meal on the couch with my mother, and for 10 minutes myself, my sister and my brother would put on the Shabbos play. It worked out good for me because I was bigger than my brother. My Kedat Yitzchak was a party. You know what he was? He was the Chamor. I was just sort of sitting on the Chamor. It worked out perfectly. So, Shabbos to me was, I'm putting on a play. I knew the Pasha at 7 years old because I was putting on a play about that Pasha. Shabbos was life. Sitting around the table, we didn't want to get off the table. We were busy, we had Chumash games, we were talking about the whole week. It was a 2.5 hour meal, my father's meal. And after 2.5 hours, maybe 10-15 minutes with Fratayos. The rest was family time. Time to get together with your kids. Everyone says, yeah, Friday night, everyone has their face in the soup. So then your kids grow up, and they're not excited about Shabbos. What should they be? So because the guy came from the store and he delivered 3 boxes for Shabbos, that's going to excite them for Shabbos? That's what we have that nobody else has. We have life. Yiddishkeit is a life. And we need to take it back because Klal Yisrael is losing it. It has become a boring, it's become a task, something on our burden, something on our back. We should be jumping for joy that Hashem wants us to give Him the bracha. When you make a bracha on an apple, you're giving Hashem the bracha. What kind of chutzpah is that? Who am I to give Hashem the bracha?
And Hashem says, I want that bracha, because I want to be connected. And you eat an apple, give me the bracha. When you're going to learn Torah, give me the bracha. Lots of good divrei Torah.
Wow. How could you not be excited about being given such a present if you're born a Jew?
What's in the Shema? Simple. Every person in this room right now is living in two worlds. Some of you in three, but it's supposed to be in two. A physical world and an emotional world. Every person in this room has emotions, and the emotional world is much stronger than the physical world. If you hit somebody, if you kill somebody, doesn't kill you. If you embarrass somebody, you have no place in Olam Haba. Because the spiritual world, that world, the emotional world is much stronger than the physical world. If you hurt somebody emotionally, they will never forget. I don't have time to go through what I went through in third grade, but I've never forgot what happened to me in third grade. I got smacked. I'm 54 years old. In those days, we got smacked. I got smacked from first grade through eighth grade because I ran away from school. 16 times I got smacked. I totally forgot what that feels like. I don't remember. But I will never forget the embarrassment of standing in front of each class and getting smacked. And I will never forget that in 7th and 8th grade, I was only a 3rd grader, when the rabbi took me to 7th and 8th grade and he smacked me, and the 7th and 8th graders were laughing. They were laughing as I was getting smacked. And I remember every single guy that was laughing. And it took me 20 years, and every one of them is dead. I'm kidding. Come on. I'm kidding. But I'm not kidding that I've never forgotten the emotional pain and the embarrassment. And that's why I went into chinuch. I wanted to make sure that that never happens to another kid. So the emotional world that you live in is much stronger than the physical world. That's your neshama. Neshama is your emotional world. It's a world that we can't see. I don't know who's happy in this room and who's not. You could smile at me and be very unhappy. You could be not smiling and be very happy. What is going on inside a person's emotion is not measurable. There's no sonogram or MRI that can say, oh, he's happy, she's happy. We can't see it. It's a world that we can't see because it's an emotional world. So every single person, how could you say you don't have a neshama? You know that you feel emotions, and you know that that's not physical. So how can a person deny that world? You can't deny that world. So when a person comes and apikoros and says, there is no other world, you idiot! You're living in it! What do you mean there is no other world? You're living in the other world! You have emotions, and now that I called you idiot, you're insulted, so you really have emotions. So how can you deny it? Every human being is in it! So what happens when a person dies? And a person's body goes to the ground. What happens to their emotions? Where does it go? It doesn't go into the ground. And the answer is, it goes back to the world it came from. It goes back to that emotional world. So how come nobody ever came back from the other side? Everybody came back from the other side. All of us in this room are back from the other side. Because that neshama is put back into a guf. And as the Zohar says, that today's day and age, there are no new neshamas. So each one of us, being that we have emotions, and it's not new, means that that neshama that went to the other world is back. So when someone says, well, nobody ever came back from the other world, you, the guy who's telling you that, came back from the other world. It's pasha. It's simple. It's not mind-boggling, but nobody ever teaches this to us. So what we need to bring back, and that includes grandfathers, not just fathers. You don't know the power that a Zayda has to his grandchildren. The Holocaust generation had no Zaydis. And even the one after that, few had Zaydis. Today, Baruch Hashem, there are many grandfathers that are alive. To tell a grandchild, to give him a compliment, to sit and learn with him, to give him a hug, is so important. And grandparents don't realize, they think it's over when they become a grandparent. Wrong. Wrong. What the Zaydi says and what the Badi says is huge. And I know many cases where kids were not getting along with their parents, and their grandparents saved their life, spiritually and physically. It is so important. So I want to end, you know, I always say to her before I come that I should say what you need to hear, not what I need to say. I had all kinds of stories. I was going in a different direction today. But I guess this is what was needed to have been said, so I said it. So I'd just like to leave it with a word of advice. Those who have children, those who have grandchildren, and those who are single. Being that I'm a rabbi, being that I'm out there and I speak a lot, being that I wasn't such a good kid growing up, being that my father was a priest, my mother was a nun, just kidding. It's very hard for children today, because one of the things that children are lacking is self-esteem. Because in a world of competition, most of us cannot be the winner. There's only one winner. And when you try hard and you lose your self-esteem. And that's why a lot of children, a lot of young people, and not such young people, are walking around today very depressed. Because we live in this world of competition when it comes to money, competition when it comes to looks, competition when it comes to grades, and the newest competition when it comes to shidduchim. You have to have a resume. I didn't have no resume. There was no such thing as a resume when you went to get married. Today, you have to send in your resume. So the girls, they want to send their resume, and the shot consisted with 80 resumes. And you have to send your picture in, so she decides. It's a pretty, it's a mamish competition, Miss Universe. You came Miss America, Miss Universe. Also in Shidduchim, where you used to be, you make a shidduch today, you got to send in your resume, and if this resume looks better than this resume, and that resume, oh my gosh, what are we doing? You want to come to Shidduchim? It became a competition. Everything is a competition. Everything. So in that world, if you're not a winner, you're a loser. When I grew up in sports, they said, my coach used to tell me I was a hockey player. They don't do much of that here. But my coach used to say, Wallerstein, you need to know something. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. Be a mensch. Stop getting the most penalty minutes on the team. Be a mensch. Today, the coach said something very different. It's not whether you win or lose. It's whether you win. There's no room for losing in this generation. It doesn't matter how hard you try. We don't care how hard you try. If you don't win, you're a loser. So there's a huge problem with self-esteem. I've been shot at for many different things my whole life. And the bullets bounce off. I'm talking emotional bullets and insults. In fact, I went to a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael to speak. My Talmud, my student, was like, Rabbi Wallerstein, you know, everyone has to hear him. And there were a lot of guys in that used to listen to my station. They really knew, very excited. And I was coming Erev Yom Kippur. This was a Thursday night. Erev Yom Kippur was Friday night. And I came to this yeshiva, Erev Yom Kippur, to me to speak, right? At 9 o'clock at night, I walked into this yeshiva. And I was supposed to speak at 9:30. I wanted to prepare a little bit. And the yeshiva, I saw him talking to my student. And it's like yelling at my student. So my student comes over to me. He says, Rebbe, we have a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? The yeshiva doesn't want you to speak. Doesn't want me to speak. I didn't say anything yet. He says, no, you don't have a beard.
and the rule in yeshiva is you have to have a beer to speak. Okay, and he also said that he heard you're a businessman. This is a yeshiva where we want everyone to go to Karlel, so he doesn't want you to speak. Meanwhile, the whole yeshiva knew that I was speaking because they had it up on a sign. I'm standing there, I'm like, this is Erev Yom Kippur. Kamtze b'kamtze, I'm here. Erev Yom Kippur, Rosh Yeshiva. I said, go back to yeshiva. I mean, I can't go beer that fast. Time I won't. I'm going to talk. I prepared Marash of Topol on Tshuva, the Hilchos Rambam, Perek Vav. There's no effect that I'm a businessman. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going into any issues. It's just Mamash and Hilchos Tshuva. It's a whole Topol. Just tell him not to worry about it. Comes back to me. Absolutely not. He doesn't want you to speak. Okay? Now, most people would have said, you know what? If that's yeshiva, and that's a Talmud Chacham, and that's a Rav, and he's embarrassing me, like, I'm done with this. I went over to my Talmud, I said, let's go for a walk. I said, don't let this affect you. I am fine. I'm tired anyway. I'm going to the Kaisel. I'm going to Davin. Hashem should be with Michael for being Mavayish me. Let it go. My Talmud went totally off the derech. Today, he's not from. Totally. There was nothing that I could tell him. He was so angry and so upset. His mom is not from. I'm still in contact with him. What this man did to him destroyed him, because for 3 days he's Rabbi Wilson's because Rabbi Wilson. He got all cursed. He looked like such a fool. Wiped him out. But I have no problem with it. And I'll tell you why. And this is something you can give your children. My father, Olah Shon, had 3 children. Me, my brother, my sister. He was a very hard-working man. But there was one thing he always told us. He said, I daven for you three for a very long time to have you. There is nothing greater in my life than my kids. Nothing. You are the most important thing in my life. And we knew, growing up, the three of us, that we were the greatest thing that ever happened to our parents. And if you know that, you don't care what anyone else says. You are wearing a bulletproof vest. If your Ima and your Ava tell you, not just through words, but through actions, that you are the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Not my business, not my friends, not my cell phone, not my internet, nothing. You, my Kinderlach, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You will protect them from the most terrible things in life. They are bulletproof. It doesn't matter what anyone tells them, you're a failure, you'll never make it. I don't care what you think. My mommy and my tati saying, I'm the greatest thing that ever happened. What a nice life, man. And every parent has the kayak to do that for their child. Every mother and every father, the kayak to tell their child before they go to sleep, listen, children, listen, Chaim, you need to know something. I might be busy, but all that stuff doesn't mean anything. You are the most important thing in my life. A child goes to sleep at night with that. And a child wakes up in the morning with that. He is bulletproof. Nobody can hurt him. He doesn't need to win. If he knows that his parents think he's the greatest thing that ever happened, he's no longer in the race. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Everyone in this room needs to know. What is Judaism? God. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Shechina, Hashem, says every single day, my children, the Jewish nation, is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And Klal Yisrael turns back to Hashem and says, and you, Hashem, are the greatest thing that ever happened.